Good morning, Westview Church. Actually, it's evening here as I'm recording this, but it's morning for you guys. I wish I could be there with you in person, but I'm so blessed and honored to be able to record this video and to speak to you from afar and to share a message from God's Word. Know that I love you, I'm praying for you, I'm thinking about you, and I'm so glad I get to be there with you, at least via video, to be able to talk and to share, because I believe that God is good, even in the midst of hard times. And we live in uncertain times, don't we? I know that I'm stating the obvious. In fact, you guys probably know it more than me. Right now, I'm confined to a Navy base, but we aren't immune here either. We still get the news reports. We get community updates. We have command decisions that restrict us for our health and safety. And yet the virus is still here all around us too, and possibly, probably even here on our base. And at this time, as you know, the stock market is up and down some more. The housing market is at a standstill, and the supermarket is out of toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and chicken, of all things. We live in uncertain times. But honestly, that has always been true. The times, life, and events have never been certain. There have always been viruses, always been wars, always been conflicts and famines and other diseases and economic instabilities and uncertainties, and then fear because of those things. Franklin Delano Roosevelt had a very famous line from his very first inaugural address. It's one that I've heard quoted quite a bit recently, and I want to read it to you this morning. It starts this way. The time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. We need not shrink from honestly facing the conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Those are wonderful words, and yet many of you are thinking, yes, but you don't know what we're facing. But as FDR made this statement in 1933, at the height of the Great Depression, he was facing 25% unemployment and rampant hunger and homelessness and a very bleak and dark future. And he had already lived through World War I and the Spanish flu and the Great Crash. Those were momentous times. Those were defining moments. And honestly, March of 2020 might be too. We simply don't know what the future will hold. But we do know the one who holds the future. If you are one who is afraid, who's been living with some fear and anxiety over these past few weeks, you are not alone. You are in good company. In fact, as you turn the pages of the Bible, you begin to encounter individual after individual and story after story in which people were afraid. Moses, Abram, Joshua, David, Jeremiah, Esther, the disciples, on and on the stories go, page after page, narrative after narrative, day after day. Indeed, fear is a constant in the pages of Scripture. But something amazing happens as you flip through these pages. As you read through each of these stories, as you peruse each of these narratives, you also hear a constant refrain. And it is this: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. I want us to hear just a few of those examples this morning. The book of Joshua begins with four admonitions in the first chapter to remind him to find courage. Because Joshua is facing a very difficult time. He's just lost his mentor. He's expected to lead these people into a promised land. He knows they are facing some difficulties ahead. And so God shows up with these words: be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Only be strong and courageous. And on this admonition goes throughout the pages of the Old Testament and the New. Here are just a few more. So do not fear, Isaiah says, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But now this is what the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and do not be afraid. God is coming to your rescue. For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let his righteous fall. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. For God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Indeed, Jesus, as the very last thing he said before he prayed on the night he was betrayed, he said this, in this world you will have many troubles, you will. But take heart. Be courageous, for I have overcome the world. A friend of mine here in chaplaincy school reminded me of something this week. He reminded me the Bible states these words, do not be afraid, 365 times. That's one for each day of the year. Because we need a daily reminder to not let fear have the last word or have control. There's a song the Christian artist Zach Williams wrote and published a few years ago. And it was one that hit the airwaves and one that speaks so poignantly. In fact, it's being played a lot over the course of the past few days and weeks. And the chorus goes like this. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your tracks. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear into the fire, because fear, he is a liar. Those are words we need to hear, because fear lies to us sometimes, doesn't it? There are things to be afraid of, but fear wants us to believe it is the only thing that matters. It has more power and control, and it can keep you up at night, and it will keep you tired and anxious and afraid. And so we need to be reminded day after day, do not be afraid. But I love the honesty. I recently heard one minister talk about a prayer he gave, and he said this honestly, Jesus, I am afraid. Apparently there's a fear not for each day of the year, but I need one for each minute, please. And since I'm a big scaredy cat, could you please teach me about fear so I don't feel so dumpy? That's a pretty honest prayer, isn't it? Because here's the thing. When God calls us to have courage, we're told it's not the absence of fear. It is a willingness to move forward even when we are afraid. And faith itself isn't the absence of fear. Instead, it is a trust and allegiance to God in spite of our fear. It says, God, I'm going to trust you even though I am afraid. I'm going to put my hope, my trust, my future in your hands. And so we can be strong and courageous because we remember that God is with us no matter what. That God loves us and perfect love casts out fear. That God has given us his spirit and his spirit is a deposit of what's to come when our lives end. But in the meantime, the spirit is also a spirit that overcomes our fear and our timidity because it's a spirit of power, love, and discipline. When we're afraid, God gives us his spirit to minister to us in the midst of our fear so that we can be strong and courageous. In his book, Fearless, Max Lucado made a powerful statement that has stuck with me in the months since I read this book. And that statement is this, fear causes spiritual amnesia. Fear causes spiritual amnesia. It makes us forget that we have a God who promises to be with us, to never leave us or forsake us, that he is there with us in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad. He is there and is faithful even when we are fearful. He reminds us that God is bigger than our fears. So when we hold on to God, we begin to remember his goodness and his grace. It begins to cast out fear. Lucado goes on to write this, "Feed your fears and your faith will starve. But feed your faith and your fears will." This last week, here in chaplain school, we went through a scenario where we've placed ourselves on a ship in combat. And it's been hard. And we were asked the question, what would you as a minister do if? And then they asked us to think about it. If your ship were hit by a kamikaze airplane. If your ship were hit by two torpedoes inbound and begins to sink. Or if it's hit by one of the new ship-killing missiles. And it was emotional. And it was heart-wrenching. And there were a lot of moments of tears and many fears and grief and sadness and introspection and questions. In fact, I spent this last week with low levels of kind of constant fear just in this hypothetical scenario, wondering if I had what it takes to go on and to do this job well. And I wasn't the only one. But every time those fears hit, over the course of those 3 or 4 days we were doing the scenario, there was a passage that kept coming to mind. These words kept running through my head. When my pulse would quicken, I would hear the refrain from this letter. When my stomach would drop out from under me, these words would keep me grounded. When fear threatened to overwhelm, these words helped see me through. And they're the words I want us to hear together today. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, whether the pages or the pixels, I'd love for you to open up to Romans 8. Romans 8, it's in the New Testament, and we're going to start in verse 14. And I'm going to read Romans 8, starting in verse 14, through twice in total. But I'd like for you to do something with me. This first time, you are welcome to read it along with me. You can read through the words, scan as I read along. But the second time I read it, I want you to just listen. Let the words wash over you. Maybe close your eyes or look up towards heaven or find a spot to focus on so you can hear these words and just be present with them. And as we're reading, as you're listening, if there's a word or a phrase or an idea that just jumps into your mind or grabs a hold of you, you have my permission to ignore me and just dwell with that idea for a moment. Because here is what's incredible. Every time I read this text, I hear something new. I've read these words so many times. But each time, something new grabs a hold of my heart based on what I'm currently experiencing, the things that are happening in my life, the experiences I'm having each day, the new things I've encountered, or even the fears I'm dealing with. And because I believe that God's word is living and active, I believe God's word is working on me in the midst of those experiences. And I believe it will happen for you too. So this morning, let's hear from the word of the Lord. This is Romans 8, 14 through 17, and then 31 through 39. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one, Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What did you hear? I want us to listen to those words again and see how God's word grabs a hold of you. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, who more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what stood out to you as you read and as you listened? A word, a phrase, an idea. What jumped into your heart, into your mind? And I want you to ask yourself a second question. Why do you think that is? As we read through this passage, you might have realized it is full of hard things. There's a lot of difficulties here, aren't there? There's sufferings that are mentioned. Indeed, they are almost promised, aren't they? And we hear mention of trouble and hardship and persecution and famine and having everything, even our clothes, taken from us, and danger and even possibly death. In fact, he just goes on to quote Psalms and say, we are like sheep to be slaughtered. There's a lot here in Paul's letter that could make us fearful. We have the right to be afraid of these things. But fear is a liar. Because this is a message of hope. Because we're reminded that we are children of God. Amen. That we have been adopted by God. That we have an inheritance, the same inheritance that is as for Christ. And we are told that there is no charge against us, no condemnation, and no one and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. There is no trouble, no hardship, no persecution, no famine, no sword, no danger, no virus, no COVID-19, no war, no fear of the unknown, no lack of control. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've never found such hope in the word nothing before. In fact, we are told something even more powerful. We are told this, no, in all these things. in all these things. I want you to say it with me, in all these things. In everything that produces fear and fretfulness and sleeplessness and frustration and worry and anxiety and angst, even in those things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Even in the midst of hardship and trouble and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword, even in the midst of a pandemic, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That is what we've been promised. That is the hope that we have as followers of Jesus. That in fearful times, we can take courage in the One who loves us. We can be strong and courageous. For I'm convinced, and I hope you are too, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So be strong and courageous, Westview Church. Be strong and courageous, all those who are watching from home or across the world. Be strong and courageous in the midst of fearful times. Now, please be smart, practice social distancing, be healthy for your sake and for the sake of others. But I'm also asking you to be strong and courageous and be kind. Give grace. Live with courage and encourage one another as you can, because we have courage and encouragement from the love of Christ. So may God bless us when we are afraid. May we recognize His goodness, His grace, His hope. And may we have courage because of Him. Let's pray together. Father God, we live in uncertain times, and yet we know with certainty that You have love for us, and that You have grace for us, and that we can trust in You, and we can have hope, we can have faith, we can have courage, even in the midst of fear. Father, be with us. Strengthen us. Father, for those who are sick, Father, I pray for healing. For those who are dealing with COVID-19, Father, I pray that You will give them Your health and Your breath. Be with those who are ministering to them and who are helping them physically and emotionally, who are helping them medically, who are helping them spiritually. Father, we pray that You will be at work here. God, we trust in You. We hope in You. Give us the courage to make it through. We pray boldly and courageously through the Spirit and in the name of the One who gives us and shows us Your love. Amen. May God bless you. May He watch over you. May He comfort you. May He turn His face towards you, be gracious to you. May God give you His peace. Love you, Westview Church. May God bless you today.